are on still on part two. And if you have a paper, you're going to look at pages number one and two on your paper. And that's all we're going to look at tonight. We're going to do some study about the gifts that God has given his church. And so we're going to concentrate on that tonight. So for this lesson, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to stay on this lesson. So don't get rid of this paper. So what we're looking at today is one and two of this paperwork today. It is lesson four. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's bow our heads and pray. We have a lot of folks who are not feeling the greatest. Some went to surgery today. Jim's sister is getting ready to go meet Jesus, and she is a precious lady who loves Jesus with her whole heart. We went to see her, and she is very calm and eating a few strawberries and just ready to go meet Jesus, and so we're grateful for that. The Bible talks about how pleasant it is or good it is to see when saints leave this world. It's a joy because they get to see Jesus. And so we're grateful for her. But we need to pray for these folks who are going through tough times. How many of you know that when you go through a tough time, you need somebody to pray for you? Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you, God, for the blessing of this house. We thank you, God, for what you have accomplished in us already. But we understand and know that this house is not your body, that we are the body of Christ. And we pray, God, for our brothers and sisters who are struggling with many things, Lord. And you know that we have lost people that we love, and perhaps we're still struggling with that this week. And God, we are looking at people who are not feeling well, people who are not long for this world going to meet you. God, we need your comfort. We need your guidance. We need your care. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would be with every single one of these people that we're lifting up right now, God, and that you would be with them, not only present to heal, Lord, but present to give comfort, present to give guidance and understanding and inspiration. And we thank you, God, for what you are accomplishing in them and through them. And we will not fail to give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So I'm usually with the preschoolers on a Wednesday night, but I do get to watch online a little bit. And so I've been really blessed by these lessons. How many of you feel like that you understand discipleship better? Yes? How many of you have felt like that you are now looking for more opportunities to actually disciple? How many of you are looking to disciple people who don't come here to church? You've noticed those people. Are you noticing people more? Noticing people's faces, their body language, what's going on in their lives, in the grocery store, at the gas station. And I believe that God is sparking that in us so that we can, in the last days, begin to look for people that we can tell about Jesus. And the older I get, the more that I realize that discipleship comes with community, with me getting to know you and you getting to know me. In the last few weeks, I've got to have had the privilege of working with some of you in the building, and I've gotten to know you better. You shared your life with me. You've shared your heart with me. You've shared your difficulties with me. And so I've gotten to know you better in those times. And I was thinking about Amy and Ryan today, and I've known Amy since she was a little baby for a very long time, known her a long time, and her family and I, ours, have been connected for many, many years. But I don't know Ryan very well. I mean, I wave at Ryan, but I've noticed about Ryan is that he likes to get things done. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Amy? Let's get this done. Let's go. Let's not mess around. If we got to put up tables, let's get them done. And I've noticed that about Ryan, and I've noticed some things about some of you. The only way to really disciple someone or to share their burden or to become where we're walking together is to know them. And the only way I can know you is if I show up and you show up and we work together in the kingdom. And the next thing I want to ask you today is, how many of you know who the board members are of this church? Pastors, no, you know. The board members know. Somebody yell out a name of a board member. Who? Jim? Scott? Karen, yeah, she's secretary. Mm-hmm. Ryan? I am not a board member. Steve? Who? Joe Turner is on the board, yes. And Alicia? Pastor Alicia? Are we missing somebody? I'm sorry? Sometimes people are bored. It's not funny. Pastor tried to tell a really little joke. So, well, so we had Bill and we had Scott and we had Jim and we had Steve and we had Ryan, Karen, Bill, oh, Bill Hooper and Bill Dodson. What is their job? Just to come in and look cute? Is that Scott's job? Come and look cute. He's not doing a good job. You're going to have to fire him. What's their job? What are they here for? Tell me that again. Okay. So they make decisions with the pastors for the church. Okay. Anybody else? What are they supposed to be doing?
They help with the accountability of the church.
Okay, so that's a good one. They help with the accountability of people, making sure that folks are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amy? Okay, so it helps the church move forward.
Keepers.
They're keepers. Ooh, that's a good word. Yeah. Go ahead. They're keeping us safe, making sure we're staying safe. Organizing. Okay, so they're walking in wisdom together. It's very good. I like it. How are the board members, how do we get the board members? How do we get them? By election, right. So let's say, now it's easy for me because I have a board member living in my house. So if I think that the doors should be blue, I can go tell that board member, hey, board member, I want you to go to the board meeting and tell them that Sister Betty says the doors should be blue. I have a right to do that because he's a board member. I can go to Scott and say, Scott, I think that these chairs need to be a different color. I can come and tell him that. Does that mean that that happens? Well, Sister Betty said she wanted it. But many of the things that you said were true. They move the church forward. They watch out for the church. They watch out for finances. They're walking in wisdom together, Brother Andy said, right? All right, tell me the members of the ministry team. Who are they? Okay, April and Jesse, what do they do? What's their job? You're the ones that look, are you supposed to look cute? Yeah, they're one. So their team is called the discipleship team. They are leaders of the discipleship team. Their job, but Brother Jesse, tell me your job. What's your job? Yeah, go to the microphone. You don't have a good yelling voice.
I don't. I have a decent one. It just doesn't come out very often, you know.
You pick and choose when it comes out. Okay, go ahead.
We help bring people closer to Jesus. We help establish relationships. We help build relationships. We cultivate those relationships through spending time together, getting to know people.
Okay. Good. Thank you. So would you say that any activity that is outside of the church where there are people getting together, that's underneath you. And so if I wanted to do that, I could come to you and say, what do you think about this, Brother Jesse, right? Now, who else did you say? Caleb and Leah, and they are what? They are youth pastors, right? And they now, Tammy is not on the ministry board or team, but she is helping with that ministry. But they're making decisions on the youth of this church, the teenagers, but mostly of this church. Somebody else. Debbie and Alyssa are children's pastors, making decisions when it comes to your children under 12. Somebody else? Trisha. Trisha is the prayer team head of the prayer team. Who else? Tasia is not on the ministry team, but she's part of the teams. Yeah. Anybody else? Ryan. What does Ryan do? He is outreach minister or outreach leader. He also, isn't he the head of the what's that? Keep us safe. What is it? Security. Is he the head of that too? The response team. That's what it's called. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Who? Jim Bianchi, or Jim Me Bianchi. Yes. He is in charge of the tech stuff. He's the church nerd. I'm going to get him a t-shirt. I'm going to have to get him a t-shirt. Tracy is hospitality. I am the praise and worship team leader. So all of those people meet together on a regular basis. Who is the janitor? Teresa. Does she wear a t-shirt that says, I am the janitor? Teresa, tell me some. Come on up to the microphone. Come on. Tell me some stuff you do around here. What do you do?
Clean the toilets, sweep, dust. Mop when I need to. Wash the windows. Pick up trash, empty trash. Sweep the pews as well as the carpet. Anything else?
While you're doing that, what do?
Talk to God.
Okay. Do you pray over the seats?
Oh, yes.
Do you pray over the bathrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. How many of have you ever been the official janitor of the church? Not just cleaning up, Sister Karen has, but not just cleaning up your mess, but the official janitor, Sister Karen has. Brother Jim and I have. Let me tell you something, a secret. It's not really a secret. I was not a good janitor. That was not, nor ever has been, my calling, but I did it because they needed it done, but it was not my calling. It might have been Brother Jim's, but it was not mine. So the reason that I'm doing all this before this is we are the body of Christ. Yes, Sister April. Who? Oh, Sister Karen, thank you. Administrative. She does a whole lot of stuff. Brother, tell me again, how do you pronounce? I keep saying Darius. Is that pretty good? Brother Darius and Sister Dunya are now on the ministry team because of our Spanish-speaking crowd, and that's very, very, very cool. But the body of Christ not only is people who come here on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, But these are people who are working, doing, planning, praying together, figuring stuff out. And it's important that we know who they are. It's important for you when you're here at a funeral dinner for you to know where the garbage bags are. And I'm just going to be really practical. It's important for you to know how to make the coffee. How many of you are good coffee makers? How many of you like strong coffee? How many of you hate weak tea-looking coffee? So, you are the people who should be making coffee. But the practicality of it is, the reason I'm saying this is we want to spiritualize everything. But honestly, the body of Christ is working people who say, oh, there's trash under this seat. I better get that. They don't say, oh, Sister Teresa will get it. You know, what else does she do? They don't dismiss your ministry or this ministry as higher or lower. We are the body of Christ. And if we are going to disciple each other and disciple those who come in, we got to know stuff. We got to know where the bathrooms are. You hear me? We got to know that it's Youth Sunday and a kid has come in late. We got to grab that kid and show him where to go. We need to do practical things. We need to say, oh, so-and-so, I've noticed that they told somebody that they lost their job. I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy them 2 bags of groceries. That is the body of Christ. That is discipleship. That is coming alongside each other. And the Bible says that they will know that we are his disciples if we have love one toward another. Not that we have the best music ever, or the fanciest church, or the coolest pastors, or the neatest youth department. None of those things matter if we don't love each other, if we don't care about each other, if we don't know each other. And so part of the body of Christ in discipleship is making sure that we're doing the work together and we know each other and we're showing each other. I had a conversation with Sister Tracy the other day, and I'm talking to people who like to work. And if it's a funeral dinner, let me tell you something. You're looking like little ants just moving everywhere. And the hardest thing for me to do is not to go and take over. Because I know where stuff is. I know where the garbage bags are. I know how to make the coffee. I've been doing it a long time. I know where stuff goes in the kitchen. I know what to do. And the hardest thing for us to do who are here a long time is to not do it. Are you hearing me? We want to go do it. But Sister so-and-so comes in. She wants to help. She's standing on the edge waiting for somebody to give her something to do. And we're all so busy doing that we've forgotten Sister so-and-so standing on the edge. Sister Debbie shared a story with me, and it's so relevant to this. She had gone to help in a school function, and they'd asked her to help with the garage sale or something. Well, they hadn't all known each other. They'd been doing it for years. So she said, I came in the door, and I waited for somebody to tell me what to do. And they're busy talking, drinking coffee. Nobody notices that person. And she said, pretty soon I was like, and you know, you just so go out the side door like I have no idea. Or somebody comes and grabs it from you because they know how to do it better than you, faster than you. They know where to put stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When we come in this church together, we need to notice every single person. And if there's somebody standing on the edge wanting to help, even though you think you make the best coffee in the world, You say to them, would you like to make the coffee? Would you like to do this? Would you, and think of things they can do. Give them a sweeper. Give them something to do, because that is the nuts and bolts of discipleship. And then in your doing, in doing that, then you get to know each other. Then you spend time together. Then that person shares with you their heart. And then you begin to know them. That's what we do in the body of Christ. Now I want you to look, if you have your Bibles tonight, or if this is also, I don't know if this is in your, this scripture is not in your paper, so Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 and 15 through 16. And I'm going to read it out of the King James. In the you can, there's an ESV. What version is that ESV? English Standard. But I'm going to read it out of the King James tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. The English Standard says for pastors, shepherds, which is the same word. Who gave them? Jesus did. Not a board. Not some church board. Jesus gave them. Who did he give them to? To the body of Christ. Do you understand and know that your pastors are a gift to you from Jesus Christ? You want to grow? You want to get better? Here, I'm giving you a gift. Now, here's the thing. We understand and know that pastors don't always do it right. We understand and know that they're not always perfect. But they are a gift from Jesus Christ to the church. And we need to treat that as such. That doesn't mean that we bow to them or that we don't even disagree with them. But it means that we honor them as the gift that they are, as Jesus Christ gave them to us. And so these places, these people, these jobs are given to us by Jesus Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What does it mean when he says he gave some? Does that mean a few? He gave a few. What does it mean? Anybody got an idea of what the word some means? As needed. Ooh, that's good. So he gives them to the church as needed. Who is willing? Is that what you said? Yeah. Can anybody be a pastor? No. If I wake up someday and I say, you know what, I could be a pastor. I could do as good as he can. Yes, it has to be a calling because the Bible says he gave. He put them in place. He decided. Jesus decided that these folks would be over the body of Christ. So what did he put them there for? For the perfecting, let's look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the or the equipping of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what they're there for. They're getting us ready to do what we ought to do. That's what these lessons are for. They are equipping us. I feel a little more ready to do battle. I feel a little bit more equipped. And so that's what they're given to the church for, so that we can be, as this, the ESV says, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. He's equipping us, making us ready to do the work that we have to do. So let's look at number 13, verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what does perfect mean? Does it mean never making a mistake? It means completeness, maturity, till we grow up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're still if you still get your feelings hurt the same as you did 10 years ago, you haven't grown up. And you're not listening to the leadership that God has placed in your life. And that's the danger of hopping from one place to another. Because you don't sit underneath somebody's leadership long enough to mature. And you get your feelings hurt, or they're not doing it the way you think they ought to, and so I'm going to go try over here. And you don't grow up, you don't mature. That's the reason that Jesus Christ gave these folks to the church. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So my goal, my model is Jesus Christ, not the pastors, right? Not any of those people that God gave to equip the church. Jesus is my standard. And as Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. As soon as I don't follow Christ, quit following me. Amen? Verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men or the cunning words of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. So the reason that we're supposed to grow up is so that we're not tossed with every idea. How many of you know that there's a gazillion ideas out there? Weird ones. And I just saw one the other day. I read something the other day, and the person sounded like a Christian. You know, they just loved God with their whole heart. But they felt like the Holy Spirit told them that when they laid down at night that they were to take crystals and lay them on their heads and chest and hands, and that they would get peace. And I thought, I don't need any of that. That's man-made and man thoughts. But people grab hold of those kinds of things all the time because it's something they can do. And that's when people are not sitting under somebody's good teaching and they're tossed around by all kinds of weird ideas. Verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So one of the things that we have to remember and know and understand that we're supposed to grow up, but we're not supposed to be by ourselves, because the Bible says that each part is fitting together, and I like what the King James Version says, and compacted. There's no separation. There's nobody going to come between you because you are fit together. One of the things that was really a difficult thing for me to learn in my Christian life is the difference in everybody's personality. I am a person who does not like conflict, and I will avoid it at all costs. There are others of you in here who almost seek out conflict and enjoy it. But I am not that person. And I had to learn how to deal with people that were different than I was. And oftentimes we think that people are attacking us, when in reality, all they're doing is seeing the world differently than what we see it. So I want you to, in my lesson study, and I'm not sure if it's in yours, they have a thing here called a model. It's an acronym. And I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. So God, in his word, has given us a model, a form, a way to do it. He says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he says, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And I'm going to show you the steps to take to make this work. Because you see, Jesus knew that millions of people would end up following him. Millions of people. How do you decide how to lead millions of people? You make a model, a plan, a way to do it. And when you follow the plan in the word, it works. It works every time. And that's why we have to follow the plan in God's word and not our own plans. So before I do this, I want to ask anybody if they have anything they want to share this evening.
I just want to point out real quickly that the scriptures we just read in Ephesians chapter 4, although we can take them as a personal, individual understanding, the context in what they're written is the overall church.
Right.
And it's all of us growing together and maturing together and working right. together. And that's what the job of what we have coined the phrase the fivefold ministry right. is supposed to do, to equip the whole body and have the whole body grow mm-hmm. together. And if we're growing, not only are we just maturing, but we're adding to our members. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. There's right. more people. So that's also twofold as well. Right. The growing means there's more people being added to, but we're also maturing.
Right.
And so when we talk about looking like Christ, yes, the individual Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. But the overall goal in the context of this scripture is for the church to look like Christ.
Right. Yes.
And
right.
I think that's important that we point that out yeah. here, because mm-hmm. that is what the heart of this text is about yeah. is all of us coming together should look like Jesus yeah. working together yes. in unity.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so each of us individually should look like Christ, and the whole body corporately should look like Christ. And that's when people are drawn to Christ. Not when we're separated, when we do things differently. When I leave the church and do this, there's this phrase in Proverbs I love when it talks about talking out of the side of your mouth. But Scott.
So this may sound kind of odd or whatever, but just because we've been in positions for a long time doesn't mean we're entitled to it.
That's a good point, sir.
Okay, mm-hmm. So... with all my heart, I believe we have the proper pastors in place. Without, you know, but other than that, me included, mm-hmm. I want to know that I'm in the position, the place I'm supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. Because try like we may, we don't always get it right.
Right.
You know, and just because you've been there for 20 years or 15, you're not entitled to it.
Right.
That's and good. It doesn't mean it's really for you anymore.
Right.
You know, I pray and I ask God, if I can't be effective in this position, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I'm not helping grow, you know, the body of Christ, right. then I'm ineffective in that position.
Right.
Maybe there's another one for me. Maybe. But I feel real strongly about this, that we just, a lot of new people, crazy things going on. We're growing like crazy, you know, mm-hmm. me included. I cannot have the mindset that I'm not worried about me. I'm, you know, it's these other people, right?
Right.
I can't be. Mm-hmm. It can't be, man. Right. And we got to start from You know? Brother Jim, which I know he's the longest board member, I know he would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's because he has the mind of God and he has the heart of God. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm hammering this, but we're not entitled to nothing.
Right.
And as leadership, we got to get it right.
Right.
And we're not always getting it right because we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So forgive us for our shortcomings and the mistakes we make. And I'm not saying we don't have people in place that shouldn't be there now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth. You know, because maybe their time's up.
Yep.
Maybe that time's up.
Right.
Maybe they don't think it's up. You know what I mean? And maybe mm-hmm. God says it is, but they don't want to release themselves
right.
of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hindrance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If that's the way you're going, if that is your mentality, and I pray to God it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's it, you don't need to be doing anything other than getting right up there.
That's right.
Because right. you have good intentions. Your intentions are to help. I get it. But they're not coming across that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm going to throw me under the bus first. Because I am so far from perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know it ain't the Joe Turner show or the Alicia Turner show,
right, right.
but it surely isn't mine,
right.
you know, and we just, sometimes we lose that.
Right.
We lose that mark, and that's been bothering, it's been weighing, I'm breathing, it's been weighing heavy on me, and I've sat there this whole time, and I thought, God, how do I say this? How do I relay this?
It's good.
You know what I mean? And be an elder, and mm-hmm. and maybe not be real popular, but that's okay because this ain't a popularity contest.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
It's about winning souls for the
right.
kingdom of heaven
right.
and getting people where they belong.
Yeah.
And again, last if I'm not doing my part, God, sit me down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't let me hang on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Don't let me hang on. Now keep me active.
Right.
Keep me involved.
Right.
Keep me serving, but in a totally different way.
Right. It's good. Good. Go ahead, Brother Andy.
So I know I'm not a leader or whatever, but I just want to encourage Scott that he said something very profound because even Moses didn't get across into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb did.
Right.
But you look at Elijah as well, and if he wouldn't have fled and hid in that cave, who knows if his ministry could have went longer. And Moses and Elijah were great men of God.
Right, so right. We don't own anything. None of it is ours. It's the kingdom of God. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Yes. Leadership is tough. It's not an easy thing. It has to be given by God. A leader can build or destroy. When do I know somebody is a leader? When is a facilitator or not? I'm going to make a word here. This is not an English word, but I'm going to make it. When is a facilitator and not a difficultator? That's a good way to see when somebody mm-hmm. is a leader, when facilitates
yes,
and not creates difficulties. And at the end of the day, all of us will be known by the problems we solved or the problems we created.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you are in the position of leadership, you're there to facilitate things, to serve,
mm-hmm.
and not to be, like Brother was saying, a hindrance.
Yeah.
So I believe with all my heart that this is God's idea.
Mm-hmm.
The yes. church is not a company. It's
right.
not a human thing.
Yes.
It's God's idea.
Amen.
And God started the church the way he wanted it, and he wants it the way he started.
Yeah. Amen. So. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
With all the titles we've heard tonight, there's a group of people we left out.
Mm.
Those are called helpers.
Mm, yeah.
They may not have any title.
Mm-hmm.
They may not do anything. Just help.
Yep. Yep. And those are important.
Vitally.
Vitally, yes, you're right. Vitally important. And that's the thing, and that's why we're not focusing on the five and going deep into what they mean. Because we understand and know that God gave this to us. But also in many places in the scripture, it talks about helps and administrative gifts and all of those things that God gives us. But again, as Brother Scott said, we don't own any of it. It's not ours. And you've heard, and I'm going to tell you a little story, and you've heard it before, but there were two churches, and I actually know these two churches. And they were dying. They were two little Methodist churches, and they were dying. And the one church, they decided that they would merge into one congregation because the one church was not in very good shape. So they thought they would just sell the property and go in the better shape church. So they said, okay, but a huge fight broke out because this is back in the day when you used regular dishes in the fellowship hall. You remember those days? No paper plates, regular. They would not give up their dishes. And they were serious. My grandmother used these plates. My great-grandmother, who helped start this church, used these plates. And we're not using your plates because your plates are less old than these. And these are more important plates than these. Yeah. And we look, shake our heads, but honestly, we get in that kind of mind frame. Well, I've had this class, or I've been this board member, or I've been this person or that person for 40 years, and nobody's taken that job away from me. God put me here, and ain't nobody going to take me out. Shame on us, shame on us, shame on us. Shame on us. This is the body of Christ. And sometimes, Brother Scott, so true. Sometimes you just got to step aside and say, let somebody else take it. Because that's what we're here to do, is to build up the body of Christ, as Pastor said, individually, but corporately. And that we are together corporately, and nobody can separate us. And as Brother Scott said, does that mean you stop serving? No. God just puts you in a different place. And it's okay. Because God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at your papers today, if you have a paper. And we're going to look at this model. And it's an acronym for what we're talking about tonight. Model. Number one in the model is to be merged. And again, we've talked about this, that we come together. On the day of Pentecost, that church was born. And those people had it together. And they didn't have anything that they said was theirs. They just sold it, gave it away, gave it away, gave it away. They were not worried about keeping anything, saying anything was theirs. They just gave it away. And they merged together. That is what the body of Christ has to do, is to become one body. The Bible says when they were with one accord and in one mind, the Holy Ghost came. When you get a church house full of people in one mind and one accord, and they're not thinking about how loud the music is or that they're not singing a hymn. You hearing me? Or that this old lady over here is too loud, or what's that lady doing, or what are those kids doing, or why are they letting that child run all over? When we get a group of people in one mind and one accord, and they step into this house and decide that they want God to do something amazing, then that's when the Spirit of the Lord you have given the Spirit of the Lord permission to do his work. Because what you literally say is, wait, wait, Holy Spirit, wait, wait. Got to wait a minute because I got to be concerned about this kid. Oh, wait, Holy Spirit, I got to think about this music. Wait. You literally hold him back. Now, he can do whatever he wants because he's God. But he has decided that you're going to invite him in. He has decided that. I'm not coming in till you invite me. And when the body of Christ invite him in one mind and one accord, he shows up. And so we merge together. The O stands for operation. In Christ's ministry, it's work. It takes work. It is the mission that we have is not separate from his body. What he's called us to do, he still continues to call us to do. When we hit the altar and say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. When you get up from there, you were called. The instant you get up, you're given the call. There you go. You've stepped into the kingdom where we are all in the same mission. We all have the same mission and operation. Christ is central to the growth, maturity, and authority of the church displays. He gifts believers to function as they should to contribute to the unity of the faith, spiritual formation, and equip others to the mission. The D is for duty. Christ, in a sovereign act, now listen to this, Christ decides. Jesus gets to decide. Not a church board, not a ministry team, not a pastor. Christ decides. He chooses who gets which gifts. No matter the ability or gift God provided by Christ, each member is expected to contribute for the good of the larger body. It is your duty. And serve others. Christ has selected some members to receive specific gifts and charged them with the responsibility of preparing and equipping other believers to serve one another. When we think it's a big deal to have some kind of title, we got to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 20. He said, if you want to be a leader, you got to be the servant. If you think you're going to lead, then what I expect of you is to serve. And that's what he told his disciples. Because, you know, James and John wanted to sit on his right hand and his left hand, and, you know, they wanted esteem and popularity and title. And he said, listen, honestly, if you're going to be part of this kingdom and you're going to do something great, you're going to serve. Hallelujah. E is for exchange. As each member connects with one another, and we talked about this, reciprocity. Reciprocity. I'm sure we could have thought of a smaller word right there. Takes place. Oh, that's so helpful. Thank you, brother. We are connected to each other. And I give to you and you give to me. And it is a constant exchange. It is reciprocated. Yeah, that's how I should have just read it like that. It's reciprocated. I give to you, you give to me. That's why it's important for you to share who you are. You can say, I'm a quiet person. I'm shy. But that's okay. But it doesn't leave you off the hook in getting to know somebody. And so find another quiet person. Find another quiet person who's all alone, who doesn't look like they know who to go up to. You, who are quiet, go up to them. And you say, I don't know what to say, Sister Betty. Well, practice. Write five things down. I'm going to say these five things. And you know what the devil will say? Oh, you sounded so stupid. But it doesn't matter what he says. Because if what we want is the job of what he's telling us to do, we won't care what we look like. Sister Debbie.
I was just thinking of the scripture in Galatians for, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we put aside ourselves. So if I was back at that garage sale, I'm uncomfortable, I'm just going to leave. But when the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to talk to somebody,
yeah,
then it's time for me to set aside my flesh and say, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm crucified in Christ. I am moving forward in what he told me to do.
That's right. Go ahead, Amy.
The scripture just keeps coming to me, Matthew 10:16. And I think that means when you're going out in this dark world by yourself and you're discipling, I'm trying to word it right, sorry. But you're also knowing that you're still part of the body of Christ. And when you're going out, you have to approach it and be Christ-like and be always aware of how you're behaving, how you're acting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Because everybody that you're serving God with,
yeah,
if that makes
that's
sense.
That's true. You reflect the body of Christ, absolutely. So, yeah, so it's not just me being good. It's me reflecting, what will people think about Sister Amy if I do this? What will people think about Brother Joe if I do this? What will he, yeah, so we are reflecting the body of Christ. So not only are we supposed to be good because we're a servant of Jesus, and by good I mean doing things Jesus' way, but we are also reflecting the body of Christ. That's a good word, Amy. Thank you. So we reciprocate each other. We give and take and give and take and give and take all the time. All the time. And the next thing that I want to tell you is that it's easy for us to give. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you feel comfortable. I'm going to make you. But when somebody reciprocates and wants to help us, oftentimes we go, oh, no, oh, no, no, that's fine, no. No, I don't need it, no. And we cause people to lose blessings when God has directly spoke to them to tell them to help us. And what we need to do is receive that blessing. That is reciprocation. Because if I'm just giving and not receiving, that's not reciprocation. But if I'm giving and then I'm letting you give back to me, and I'm not too proud, and I let you help me, if so-and-so says to me, I want to pray for you, God's given me a word. Now, honestly, I'm going to be really honest. I've had this happen to me before, and I thought, seriously, you want to give a word to me? Because, you know, you've been, like, saved, like, 30 seconds, and now God has given you a word to say to me. And I don't know if Brother Joe said it, and I know that God does it to me. He smacks me in the back of the head, said, what is the matter with you? And has strongly rebuked me in the spirit and set me down and said, you better not act like that again. And so we need to be willing to receive blessings from people as well as giving blessings. Brother Andy.
And I think that goes along with love, too, because we love him because he first loved us. So loving someone is good because you can give them love. But if you're not being loved by them back, then it's not reciprocation, like
right,
you said.
Right. So. That's really true. So you got to accept that as well as give it. Amen. The last one is love. Everything done in Christ's body for his mission is predicated on the pattern and patterned by and proceeds from love. Agape love, as we know, 1 Corinthians 13 says. The body is built up in love. A three-dimensional love is manifested. Love for God and love for Christ's followers and love for your neighbors not belonging to Christ's community. So first of all, as Brother Scott said, if we got something going on, the first thing we need to do is hit the altar and renew our first love for the Father. So our love comes first of all from God, and then we show the body of Christ love. We show them care. We show them concern. The Bible says that we laugh with those who laugh, and we mourn with those who mourn. And we help, the Bible says, help carry each other's burdens. Now, let me just be really clear here. That doesn't mean that you have to just spill your guts all the time. You know, I don't have to go to five people and tell them all my story about I got, you know, all this problem and this problem and this problem and pray for me and pray for me and pray for me. Because often when we do that, we're looking for somebody to justify what's going on in our lives. If I, you know, talk to five people, somebody's going to agree with me. Somebody's going to have pity on me. That is not what we're talking about when we talk about sharing with each other. But sometimes there's a burden that you're carrying, and you need to find that trusted person that you have built a relationship with. And you say, sister, I need you to pray with me. And that person who loves you and has built a relationship with you can be honest with you and say, well, you know, the reason this is happening is because you're doing this. And be honest with you and pray with you. So love doesn't always talk, and is not always about putting your arm around somebody and saying, oh, I just love your shoes. Because that's what we do. I love your dress. Oh, I love your shoes. Oh, those earrings are so cute. Or, Brother Joe, that shirt you wore is interesting. Because those are surface things that we normally do. But when we can say to somebody, I'm so proud of you for what you did here. Or I think it's so cool that you get to do this. Or this is happening in your life. And we go beyond surface stuff. And we talk about important things and share our hearts with each other. And so the love that we share is an agape love. And love for neighbors not belonging to Christ's community. Paul employs the imagery of a biological growth with a construction metaphor. He first talks about we are building, we're God's building, and then we're the body. And he shows us both things because it highlights the importance of an atmosphere of love in which the joints and ligaments supply what has been given them by the grace of Christ. So when we summarize this model, we see that this needs to happen every single time. We come together, we're honest and loving toward each other. We are making sure that we are molded and led by the love of God. We reciprocate stories and we share our lives with each other. And again, the Bible says when they see that, when they see this model, they will come to Christ because they will see the love of Jesus Christ manifested in our lives. Sister Alicia.
So I think a lot of what we're talking about tonight is very countercultural to America.
Yeah.
And so as I was listening, though, I was reminded the gospel is not an American gospel.
Right.
So there are other cultures that get this way better than we do. They're more focused on family groups and the community than Americans are. Americans tend to be more selfish, more self-focused. Right. But I was thinking of the scripture where Paul is talking, and he says, don't worry, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as those other men who tell you how important they are. They are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement, and how ignorant.
Yeah.
So in America, what we're talking about is what the church should look like. And if we look at our church based on the churches around us and think, oh, we're doing pretty good, we're missing it.
Yeah.
Because that's not God's standard. And God's standard is what we have to measure up to. And I believe what this lesson was great. And I thank you for sharing it because it was so timely, because God is doing something in this body. And it's so much bigger than I think I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. Because he's calling, and it's not just us. I believe he's probably doing it other places, but this is where I feel it. This is where I see it. He's calling us to be the church.
Yeah.
And it's going to take sacrifice on everyone's part. And when you're talking about, it may not be your personality, but you know what? Get over it.
Right.
You're a new creation in Christ. And as Debbie said, you're crucified with Christ. So you're going to have to just do it if you really want to honor God with your life and if you really want to be part of the body. And so it's timely messages that God is trying to wake us up and say, it is time to be the body. The world needs to see the real church, and they haven't seen that in very many places in a long time. And when we get there, we're going to see God do things like we haven't seen.
Yes.
And so I'm excited, and I believe that we are a people who are going to say yes to that.
Amen. And it's not about numbers. It's about the body of Christ. Go ahead, Brother Bro.
So listening to all this and thinking about it, and you talk about seeing through different lenses and how mm-hmm. people see things in different perspectives. And I spent 12 years in the Air Force, so like I look at things very militarily when I see things. So like looking at church and stuff like that, this is our basic training. This is what gets us ready to go out and get ready for the battlefield. We learn the basic tools that we need to be out in the field and how to survive. And Pastor Joe is our drill instructor. He's the one that mm-hmm. establishes standards and but holds us above the standard, so that way we can excel when we're out in the world and out in the field. And so, like, hearing these things and just seeing, thinking in my mind, it was just like, this is the time we put the work in to be able to do things and to be able to get other people involved. And they always told us in the Air Force and stuff is that your one action could either make the Air Force look great or it can give someone a sour taste. They'll be like, you know what? The United States Air Force is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so it's same thing with this church.
Yeah.
We are a reflection of that.
Yeah.
And our one single action, maybe out of haste or something like that, could just burn somebody for the rest of their lives just because it's burned into their mind.
Thank you. That's a good word. And one of the things I want to tell you is that it's not about perfection. But when you fall down, you need to say, man, I messed up. And you need to call somebody that you love and say, I need your help because I messed up. And all of us mess up. All of us do. I don't care how long you've been saved. You know what? Sometimes you get in dry spells and you become just this mean old person with a mean old face. And everything bugs you. And you know what? You, as Brother Scott said, you need to get rid of it. You need to go to the altar and say, God, renew the joy that I had. Renew the excitement for the things of God. And because sometimes we walk in this same old sameness year after year, and we do church. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You just do church. I know how to, okay, when I'm supposed to raise my hand and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Shake my hand, smile at you, and how's the kids? And you do church and repetitive things because you know how to do it so well. But oftentimes, God is calling us to something deeper than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Something realer, something more fundamental. And I've been really doing a lot of praying, and God has just... And I've said it before, but I feel like I'm starting brand spanking new. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in me and what he's doing in you. But the last thing I want to say is the body of Christ is not just these four walls. It's the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church and our brothers and sisters who are hurting, who are barely making it, who are just got four people in the congregation. We need to reach out to them, to love them, to draw them in, to tell them that we love them and not say, our church is so much better than yours because we're Pentecostal and you're whatever the name is above the door. God, help us when we do that. Let us just love in word and deed, the Bible says. And let us draw people to the body of Christ and be as in, and I know this is a modern word, but let's be inclusive. And I know that's a word that people are like, oh, I hate that word. It's a modern. And it is, but the word inclusive means I'm going to include you. I'm going to include you in the kingdom of God. I'm going to invite you in. Now, I know that God expects certain things from his followers. It's very clear. But sometimes people don't know that. They just need Jesus. And that's what we need to start with. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just pray together before we leave today. Father, we're so grateful for the body of Christ. We're so grateful for the body of Christ here and in other churches in Cary and Upper Sandusky and Van Loo and Tiffin and Sycamore and Cuba and Africa and all over the world. Help us, God, to understand and make our eyes bigger than what they are, to see greater than what we see, to see what you see, Father. We pray, God, that you would cause us, God, more than ever before to begin to love one another like we have never done before and see you as the standard and not other people. Help us to do it right, Father. Help us to get it right in these last days, Lord. Help us to draw every single person we can in. We thank you, God, for what you are accomplishing in this body. Help us, God, never, never, never to get too prideful. Help us to understand that it's just about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, everybody.